أرسله معنا غدا يرتع ويلعب. Send him with us tomorrow that he may play and enjoy himself. يرتع is from رتعين. رتع means to graze like animals. So when man goes for an outing, what happens is there are natural fruits, so he eats them. So here you see, first they persuaded the father and then said, let him go. This is a way to take permission. يرتع ويلعب. We want to take him for a picnic so that he eats and enjoy himself. So in this verse, you see there is the request of these brothers before their father, in which they wondered why he should not trust them with Yusuf, although they wished him fully well. So they pleaded he should send him along with them to enjoy himself freely by eating and drinking and playing with them, and that they all shall be there to take care of him. وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We shall take good care of him. You see, the more one lies, the more he reminds what? وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَنَاصِحُونَ. وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We are going to guard him, protect him. We are the well-wishers. قَالَ, he said, who? Their father said, إِنِّي لَيَحْزُنُنِي. Indeed, it grieves me. حُزن is another person's grief, a grief of others. It grieves me what antadhhabu, that you take him away. Wa akhafu, and I fear, an ya'kulahu dhi'b, lest a wolf should eat him up. Here you see, when the brothers of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam requested their father that he should send Yusuf with them on this outing, so Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam told them that he did not favor sending him out for two reasons. Number one, he remains uncomfortable without him in sight. And number two, he apprehends that in the wilderness out there, it might so happen that they become neglectful at some time and a wolf might eat him up. Now the apprehension of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam may have been caused due to the abundance of wolves in Canaan. There may be wolves nearby. And then he said, وَأَنْتُمْ عَنْهُ غَافِلُونَ, while you are off your guard, you're careless. It's a beautiful way to make the other understand that I'm not comfortable without him in sight, or you may be careless. Your carelessness can result in some big calamity. There can be a chance of being heedless. So leave him. قَالُوا, they said, لَإِنْ أَكَلَهُ الزِّئْبُ وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ, if a wolf could eat him despite our number. Now after hearing what Sayyidina Yaqub said, those brothers countered it by saying that his apprehension was strange in view of the presence of a strong group of the 10 of them to protect Yusuf. If a wolf could be expected to eat up Yusuf despite their being there to guard him, it would render their very presence around him totally senseless. If so, they could not be taken as good for anything. Also, you see, they were very proud regarding their strong group. And this is man's weakness. Like in our society, this is a weak point. Our family, our community, our group or sect, my clan, my people. This too is to trust other than Allah, meaning to trust people or groups. إِنَّا إِذَا لَخَاسِرُونَ, then surely we would be worthless people. This will be a great loss for us, that despite our number, we forget Yusuf and cause him some loss. But you see, before destiny, no planning works. Then what happens? فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ, when after such persistence, they were able to take him away. So now what happens? After making the father agree, they take him. وَأَجْمَعُوا, they got together, they agreed, they reached a conclusion. أَنْ يَجْعَلُوهُ, they resolved to throw him فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبْ, into a dark well. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ, we revealed this to him. To who? To Yusuf alayhi salam, as to reassure him. What? لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ, surely you will definitely inform them, who? Your brothers. بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا, with this matter, that is, we reveal to Yusuf a time will come when you will admonish who? Them, your brothers, about this act of theirs. You will tell your brothers one day what they had done to you. One day you will mention before them all what they are doing today. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ Now they do not perceive its consequences. They won't even remember it or think about it. In a narration, it comes Yusuf a.s. stayed in that well for 3 days, and here, by means of a dream, he was shown that Allah will aid you, meaning Yusuf, against them, against the brothers, and elevate your rank and raise your grade. And later on, when your brothers will come to you with humility, you will remind them of what they did to you. Allah Ta'ala revealed to Sayyidina Yusuf words of comfort for him, in which he has been given the glad tidings that sometime in the future he will meet his brothers, and that it will be a time when he would be free of any need of help from these brothers, rather would have an upper hand over them, and by virtue of these changed circumstances, he would be in a position to take account of their unjust treatment meted out to their younger brother, while they themselves would be unaware of the whole matter. Now another thing is the word wahi. Look at this, it says here, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ. This is also that wahi can come to the prophets in childhood too. It can be a dream, or it can be a true form of أَوْحَيْنَا, as was the case of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, that he spoke in the cradle in childhood, Inni Abdullah Atani al Kitab Waja'alani Nabiya. Then what happened? Waja'u Abahum Isha an Yabkun. At nightfall they returned to their father weeping. Now they return at the time of Isha, crying. Isha, when darkness spreads and no redness in the sky remains. Isha is also after Maghrib, meaning after 1.5 hours after Maghrib, the darkness of night spreads in the sky. Now they came back when it was darkness all over, not during daytime. Why? So that their face expressions do not show, their emotions are not seen, the effects of lies should not be seen. قالوا, they said, Ya Abana inna dhahabna nastabiqu. Father, we went off to compete in racing with one another. Now here you see Allah Ta'ala narrates to us the deceit that Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers resorted to after they threw him to the bottom of the well. They went back to their father during the darkness of the night, crying and showing sorrow and grief for losing Yusuf. They started giving excuses to their father for what happened to Yusuf, falsely claiming that Inna dhahabna nastabiqu. We went racing with one another. Look at this word. Nastabiqu. Sabaqa. Seen. Ba. Qaf. To race. Watarakna Yusufa inda mata'ina. And left Yusuf by our belongings, so that he can take care of our things. Fa'akalahu zib. And a wolf ate him. Wama anta bimu'minin lana. وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ But you will not believe us even though we are telling the truth. You won't trust us. You don't trust us. You don't have yaqeen, conviction in us. No matter how true we are, you will never believe in us. Again, you see that same blaming style, so that they can make the other speechless. وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ Even though we are telling the truth. وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيسِهِ بِذَمٍ كَذِبٍ As proof, they brought his shirt stained with false blood. It is said, the brothers of Yusuf a.s. came back with his shirt they had smeared in fake blood. It is said they had slaughtered a goat. So they smeared it in fake blood so that they could make their father believe that he has been eaten up by a wolf. قَالَ Said who? Yaqub alayhi salam. Bal sawwalat lakum anfusukum amra. No, your souls have tempted you to evil. Sawwalat. It refers to the nafs, which makes a bad thing easy to do, and to present a bad thing in a good way. That bad deed which man greatly likes. For example, what haram and wrong deed we like, for example, backbiting, or to degrade someone, or accuse, slander someone, or to exaggerate something. All this is liked by the nafs, exaggerating, huh? So at that time, man does not think this is wrong, but he sees all this in a beautiful way, and he thinks himself to be right on haq. And then he does all this with full confidence. So this is called taswil. Now, Yaqub alayhi salam did not believe what they said, but you see here in reply, what is it said? Bal sawwalat lakum anfusakum amra. Your souls have tempted you to evil. Fasabrun jameel. I need good patience. This is the best akhlaq, that someone commits such a big crime and in reply one overlooks it in this way and adopts patience. Fasabrun jameel. I'll observe patience in a good way. Wallahu al-musta'an. Allah alone can help me. Ala ma tasifoon. He can help me bear the loss you are speaking of. I'll bear with patience over what you say. I will seek Allah's help. I will trust Allah. Now, Yaqub alayhi salam does not abuse his children or shout or yell at them, wail or cry or threaten his sons that get out of here, go away from my sight. No, nothing. What do we do, huh? If our child comes and he did any such work, and then he comes to us, what do we do, huh? Also, see, it was such a big crime. It was not a small crime. Now, for example, if our child comes home and if he has failed in the exam, now, as soon as he comes home, what do? Shout, scream, break the dishes, slam the door, start crying, and will narrate it to anyone who comes, or maybe hit the child. And over here we have the character, beautiful character of a respected father, a father of a good character who looks at his children's mistakes like this. Now imagine Yaqub alayhi salam sitting and the brothers have left, and then they have left Yusuf alayhi salam somewhere, and now they come back and then they lie, and the father knows that they are lying. How can it be possible that a boy age 13, 14 years old, he's eaten completely by a wolf? A wolf is smaller than a man, a person. Imagine its size is like a goat. And imagine, can it eat a 13 or 14 year old boy? Is it possible? Can it be possible to eat him completely? But you see, Allah Ta'ala had his way of exposing their lie. He made them neglect something else they should have done besides smearing the shirt with fake blood. Had they also torn the shirt, it would prove his being eaten up by a wolf. And here they are coming with an intact shirt smeared with the blood of a goat and trying to deceive their father. After seeing the shirt totally unscratched, Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam said, "My sons, certainly wise was this wolf who ate Yusuf in a way that his shirt was not torn from anywhere." Thus their deceit was exposed before Yaqub alayhi salam, and he said, "Bal sawwalat lakum anfusukum amran, fasabrun jameel, wallahu almusta'anu ala ma tasifoon." Now Yaqub alayhi salam was familiar with what they had done and that they are lying. But you look at the reaction of the father. There is a lesson for all of us that we should tolerate if anyone or even our children, they commit some wrong to us. And its benefit is that there will be some chances left for the reform of our children in future. And the parents who react and expel their children, then they lose all chances for their reform in the future. Then what happened? وَجَاءَتْ سَيَّارَةٌ. On the other side, what happened? A caravan passed by. Now you see what is happening at the other end. They threw him in the well and left, and a caravan comes and stops nearby. A caravan that, you see, it reached that exact spot and decided to send their water carrier to that deserted well. This is surely a sequence of events which is referred to by people as accidental. But you see, the knower of the secret of the creation knows that all these events are chains of a system which is breathtakingly coordinated and formidable. It is. But the creator of Yusuf alayhi salam and his protector, who brings the caravan here and sends its men to this deserted well, فَأَرْسَلُوا وَارِدَهُمْ and sent a water carrier. Warid, it is a person who moves ahead of the caravan as its vanguard. Such a person is responsible for taking care of the needs of the caravan, water being one of them. Warid, who approaches water. Water drawer. فَأَدْلَ دَلْوَهُ, who let down his bucket into the well. You have read this word before as well, huh? Where? In Surah Al-Araf, when Shaitan tried to deceive Adam and Hawa. فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ, remember? Look at this word. فَأَدْلَ دَلْوَهُ. Idla means to lower the bucket into the water, to draw water. Tadliya is let down the bucket in the well. Now the water drawer put down the bucket in the well. Qala ya Bushra. He shouted with joy. Good news. Hada ghulamun. I found a young boy. In some narrations, his age is 13, in some 16, and in some 17, meaning he was a teenager. Wa asarruhu bidha'a. They concealed him like trade merchandise. They found a boy, so they hid him because it was a time of slavery and humans were sold in markets. They would take them to the market to sell. Like, you know, goats and sheep are sold and bought. Now imagine human beings sold there. There's so much humiliation, but, you know, such used to happen before that people were sold and they were bought. So they took the boy and they never even asked him where he came from or what happened or where was he going. They thought this is a booty and we will sell him and get some profit. Bida'a, trade merchandise. Ba, duat, ayn, bid'un, a big chunk of meat which is cut and separated. That is amount of wealth which you keep for trade. Like you've seen a shopkeeper who sells all day and the money he earns, he uses some of it and then he separates a big portion out of it to reinvest. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. But Allah knew what they did. Allah Ta'ala had let them do all this. So the free will which Allah Ta'ala has given man for doing amal, they can use it. When it is said, وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ, the sense is that Allah Ta'ala in his perfect knowledge was fully aware of what the legendary brothers of Yusuf would do. And also that which will be done by the people of the caravan who would buy him. Allah Ta'ala had all the power to undo the designs of both. But it was under his own wise considerations that he let these designs carry on. وَشَرَاهُ بِثَمَنٍ. وَشَرَاهُ, they sold him. بِثَمَنٍ, for a price. بَخْسٍ, little, cheap. They sold him for a petty price. Who? The boy. For how much? Petty price. دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَ, a few counted dirhams, silver coins. دَرَاهِم, it is the plural of dirham, silver coins. It comes in a narration that the deal was closed at 20 dirhams. Now why they sold him for such a petty price, huh? Because they just found him on the way. They had no interest. They just wanted to sell this boy. Like if you find something fallen, what will you do with that thing, huh? Maybe you want to sell it. You don't care and you just want that it is sold. So they too wanted to get rid of him. وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ, they had such a low estimation of him. The word zahideen is the plural of zahid, which is a derivation from zuhud. Literally, zuhud means indifference. Disinterestedness. In usage, the lack of interest in and the avoidance of wealth and property in worldly life is referred to as zuhud. The meaning of the verse is that this caravan was not really interested in Yusuf alayhi salam. So imagine such an expensive thing, precious soul, Yusuf alayhi salam, who had seen such a beautiful dream that the sun and the moon are prostrating. إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ. And at one end, such a high rank, but on the other end, so much disrespect, no value. So you see, in everyone's life, there can be these two things. For example, a girl may have a very high place in her parents' house, lot of importance, but when she comes to the in-laws, maybe they don't give her respect, and they don't know how capable she is or how good she is. So Yusuf alayhi salam was intelligent. Also, he remembered his dream. He understood all. He saw all what was happening to him. But he was not despairing of Allah's mercy. Now, if we are put in a trial, what do? We immediately complain. Why did this happen to me? Why I was chosen for this thing? And here you see, he was so close to his father, parents beloved. And then he is deprived of this love. And he comes into the hands of those who have no interest in him. This is a great trial for him. The one who has no value near others, that is a big trial for that person. Like in your area, your home, you have some respect, importance, people know you. But in another place where you go, no one knows about you. So this is a trial, a test for the nafs. So on this, a person has to be patient and keep obeying Allah and wait for good times. There is no complaint. Like in daily life, we see someone is very rich and then suddenly he loses everything. Or one is very healthy and suddenly he loses his health. So anything can happen to us. We don't know about our lives, our health, our wealth. How can man be so arrogant then? Or even think of being arrogant, great? No. Why? Because Allah is the greatest. Allahu Akbar. And to learn this lesson that I am not big, but Allah Ta'ala is the greatest, then this life and the next life becomes easy for that person. Now over here, it seems there was a lot of injustice done on Yusuf alayhi salam. But you see, all this was for his future to reach the heights. If he lived in the desert among the jealous brothers, then he would not have been able to get the rule of Egypt. Allah Ta'ala is sending trials to him. You see, gold is heated up and then it becomes pure. It is refined. Remember, without a trial, if one gets something very big, then he cannot manage it. With weak legs, if one gets a big body, he cannot walk. That is, to gain heights, it is a condition for a person to go through trials. Like there is a difference between a brittle utensil and then another utensil that is strong, which is prepared after being heated. So if one gets any blessing without any preparation, then he cannot give it its due right. Now Yusuf alayhi salam is deprived of his father's love. Then he was thrown into the well. Then from the well to caravan, and now comes to a new place. An Egyptian person buys him. In the Quran, he is mentioned as Aziz-e-Misr. And it seems he had a good or great rank in the Egyptian government. He was from the elites. And in some narrations, it is said he was the finance minister of Egypt, of Rayyan bin Walid. The name of the wife of Aziz of Egypt was Zulaykha or Ra'il. Verse 21. وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِن مِثْرَ لِمْرَأَتِهِ. The Egyptian who bought Yusuf said to his wife, أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ. Be kind to him, honor him, keep him with honor, make his stay comfortable. Now this is a proof of his high or good character, that I've brought him. The boy is good, so keep him with respect. Akrami, from ikram, to give honor. Mathwahu is an abode, place of staying, and its plural is mathavi, a place of staying where one stays for a long time. Asa an yanfa'ana, he may prove useful to us. Maybe he will profit us. Give him a good place. Maybe he profits us. Now this too was a sign of his good understanding. He was wise. If you treat him well today, then he will treat you well in future. He instructed his wife to provide good lodging for Yusuf alayhi salam and see that good arrangements be made for him. Or نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا, or we may adopt him as a son. وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, thus we established Yusuf in the land. Where? In the land of Egypt. We gave him a good place to stay. Given here is the good news of what would happen in the future. That is, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, who has entered the house of the Aziz of Misr, Egypt, at this time as a slave, shall soon be the highest ranking man in the country of Egypt when the power of governance comes into his hands. Now Yusuf alayhi salam's upbringing was done in an open desert, in an environment of Bedouins. He would graze goats in an environment close to nature. His education of fitrah was complete in those natural surroundings. And now to be polished, he had to go out, like we keep our children with us for a certain time. And then when we want them to become more capable, then what do? We send them abroad for higher education. So Allah Ta'ala too, for his higher education, and to create a different quality in him, that the government which he will have to run in future, in order to be familiar with that environment, he has to see it closely. Thus he was sent to Egypt. Now there were no hostels there where one could be sent for tarbiyah, and therefore a Bedouin boy to go to the house of Aziz Misr, of course no one would open the doors for him. But Allah Ta'ala had planned in a different way. Like sometimes we want something but we don't know its means. So remember, whenever you ask Allah Ta'ala for something, then ask for the ease in the way to reach there, so that the path is not difficult, unbearable for you. Anyway, here it is said, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. You see, dunya sees he has come to a strange place. He is a slave now. But Allah Ta'ala sees him in a different angle. We gave him this place. So this is the difference between Allah's words and of course our words. What we think as a misfortune, hardship for us, Allah Ta'ala knows it is good for us. And this is a part of a new and a better training for Yusuf. And for that, a place is provided to him, that he brings him there himself and says, keep him in a good way. The Aziz Misr, he brings him and he says, give him a good place. Then Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, thus we established Yusuf in the land. We are preparing for two things. What? Number one, that make the path of ruling Egypt easy for Yusuf alayhi salam. And secondly, وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِن تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ, and arranged to teach him the understanding of affairs, to reach the depths of things. Because until man is in a protected environment, he does not know the ups and downs of the world around him. And as soon as he comes out of a protected environment, then he gets to know a lot of realities. Like in a room, the color of cloth seems different. But when you come out in the sunlight, the color of the cloth will seem different. Like when we live in a small environment, then we see things with a different vision or concept. And when we go out, we see the dunya in different light. And thus our concept, imagination changes. Similarly, when ilm is less, we are more strict, severe, harsh. But when ilm increases, then there is vastness in the heart and also in the mind. And man's thinking changes. When you interact with people more, you can understand them better. You understand their psyche, their habits more. So Allah Ta'ala took him to a different, unfamiliar place so that he could reach the depths of matters. Second meeting is interpretation of dreams. Now interpretation of dream is an ilhami knowledge, divine knowledge. And you cannot interpret dreams without understanding the person's psychology, because both have a very close link. Remember I told you about the hadith which tells about the three types of dreams, and one was hadith-e-nafs, self-suggestion. What you think you see at night, what is in your heart, you see that in your dreams. So this was Allah Ta'ala's decision that we must make Yusuf reach the depths of things. We is Allah. And now, why was this necessary? Because see, Yusuf alayhi salam was to be given the rule of Egypt, Egyptian government, the affairs of the government, a high rank. And for this, to have this wisdom to understand the matters, the depth of the matters, to reach the depths of different things. So unless this was not achieved, he would not have been successful then. In a narration it states, he worked there for 80 years. He ruled the government till his death. Now this rank was not taken away from him, and there was no other person capable like him. And see, he came from a desert, and he's ruling this place, maintaining the justice, spreading deen also. Why don't we have this capability today? We have become colonized, slaves of others. So this is the difference. Now Yusuf alayhi salam leaves a place and comes to a totally different environment, to a different nation, a so-called progressive or modern nation, civilized of that time. And you can say it was the superpower of that time. So a foreigner controls that place. Is it easy? Over here, Allah Ta'ala had to take great work from Yusuf alayhi salam. That is why he was put in an environment contrary to his temperament. Like a person who is righteous and his father is a prophet and he is from a good family. And there is deen, Allah's zikr in the family. And Yusuf alayhi salam was a pious soul. And by nature he was inclined towards goodness and righteousness. And now it was an environment. And that was an environment according to his nature, his will. And then Allah Ta'ala took him out and sent him to a totally opposite environment. And you will see what trials come ahead. Now you see, this can happen to us. One place or environment is perfect. We're relaxed. We're in peace. And then, for example, you get married, go to such a place and environment. Or you travel to such a place where the weather, food, water, people, they're totally different. And this is burdensome on your nafs. Oh, what is happening to me, huh? I was just fine. Everything was according to my needs, my will. But tell me, why does Allah Ta'ala do such? He does not have enmity against us, but he does so he can take some great work from us, and he makes us firm. For example, if you live at home, you only have interaction with a few people, and if you live in the hostel, then you have interaction with maybe 50 people or more. So you can become clever in the hostel, not at home, because you meet so many different people. Now in the house, the mother looks after everything, but here you have to do everything yourself, take care of yourself, huh? So by this, one becomes more mature and can tolerate more. Man can only gain tolerance by things that go against his nafs, okay? For example, in the beginning one says, I can't do this, I won't do this, but later you are actually doing that work. How can I learn my lesson? I can't. And then you do it. Now you're learning, taking the test, doing the assignments. وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِن تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ, and arrange to teach him the understanding of affairs. So this sentence, وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِن تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ, that is, all this happened which was against the nafs, so that he could reach the depths of matters, and he has understanding of matters. And the secret of ruling is in understanding the matters. Who does not understand matters, he will ruin everything otherwise. وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ, Allah has full power over his affairs. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, though most people do not know. And most people do not know why they are put in this difficulty. Now what happens is, when man is put into a test, so who remains steadfast, of course they become firm, strong. Like you see, some cannot go into a lift. Why? Because of phobia. So what will they do? They will use the stairs. And those who can go by lift, they will get there in a few seconds. So who can bear the trials, they can proceed ahead quickly. And who can't bear, then they remain behind. Thus said, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Though most people do not know. Most people, majority, they don't know how Allah Ta'ala takes work from people. Like you see the way Yusuf alayhi salam was made a slave. You must have read the story relating to Salman Farsi, how he went from one country to another, and then he was sold, and then he came to Medina. He became a slave of a Jew. And then also Hazrat Bilal, he was a slave. And then Hazrat Zaid, when he was sold, then he came to Hazrat Khadija as a slave. And then she gave Hazrat Zaid to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a gift. So I just told you that there were humans who were sold in the markets, like the animals are sold. So imagine what a person feels if he is being sold, his self-respect, honor, and especially if he is a loved one of his parents. A lot of times such big trials do come, and we say, why did this happen? And then we utter words against Allah or complain, or we utter words that are against Allah's decisions, because of lack of understanding. But who undergoes this pain or suffering and he does not complain, then his degree or rank increases. Who does sabr on trials, his rank will increase. And who complains and is impatient or shouts, they cannot gain high degrees. Either he will remain in the same position or even fall down.